9, Book of Mark, chapter 9. Be reading verses 14 through verse 27. When he, that would be Jesus, came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he that would be the dumb spirit taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and saith, O faithless generation." He's speaking to this father, but he's also speaking to the multitude that's there. "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, "How long is it ago since this came unto him?" And he said, "Of a child. And oftentimes it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him." And the spirit cried, and rent him sore, and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand, and lifted him up, and he arose. And what we've just read is Mark's account of Jesus casting out a demon from, we assume, a young man. But Matthew and Luke also record this particular event. We've preached from this, and we taught in it in Sunday school, and we, again, love preaching from the miracles, the healing miracles of Christ. By way of background, in verses 1 through 13, Jesus had taken Peter, James, and John up into a mountain. He was transfigured before them. What that simply means is that he appeared in his glory before them. And in time, Jesus and these three, Peter, James, and John, came down from the mountain. And they saw a great multitude of people around the other nine apostles. And the scribes were questioning with the apostles. We see that in verse 14. When the people saw Jesus, they ran toward him. We see that in verse 15. And we read in verse 16, "And he asked the scribes, What question ye with them?" And before the scribes could answer the question, we read in verse 17 that one of the multitude answered. Matthew, in his account in Matthew 17 and verse 14, says that this particular man came kneeling down to him. So we need to picture this man is kneeling before Christ. This man was the father of a demon-possessed son. And he is kneeling before Christ, telling him of how he had brought his demon-possessed son to the apostles, which would have been the nine. The other three were up in the mountain. And he brought his son unto these nine apostles in hope that they could deliver his son from this awful bondage and control of this demon. So when Christ came down from that mount, the scene that he came upon serves as a reminder of the world in which you and I live. He came upon a scene of sin. He came upon a scene of sorrow and suffering. He came upon a scene of satanic influence and power. If you look at the people that were present, there were the scornful scribes. There were the weak and wavering apostles. There was the desperate demoniac. And there was this afflicted and very distressed father. And then there was the multitude, and they were just wondering and very perplexed about everything that is going on. The subject of the message is miraculous deliverance for the dreadful and distressed. We want to center our thoughts around three individuals: the dreadful son, who was demon-possessed. Secondly, the distressed and very desperate father. And then thirdly, the delivering Savior, Jesus Christ. But first of all, let's look at this son. As you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke's account, you see that the father, in agonizing detail, describes his son's condition. He was in a horrible condition. His condition was very grim. It was really what the father is describing here is a tragedy. He's describing his son's condition as wretched. He's describing his son as a miserable individual. He's describing a very woeful situation. He's describing something that was very, very grievous. The son of this father was under the control of this demon. He was in bondage to satanic activity and influence. And there are people everywhere in bondage to satanic activity and influence. This is not something that is confined to Bible times. This is very, very real. This is very, very prevalent in our day. This demon is referred to in Mark 29, verse 25, as a dumb, that simply means mute, could not speak, spirit. What that means is that the Spirit caused this son not to be able to speak. He also goes on and says that it was a foul spirit. That means it was disgusting, repulsive, and loathsome. And that was the behavior that it produced in this son. Luke records in Luke 9:42 that it was an unclean spirit, or one that caused defilement. And then Mark again says in Mark 9:25 that not only was it a deaf or a dumb spirit, but it was a deaf spirit. So from this we see that this son As a result of satanic bondage, as a result of satanic influence, was unable to speak. He was unable to hear. He behaved himself in a very disgusting and repulsive way. And then the Father goes on in Mark 9 and verse 18, referring to this demon that possessed the son. He said, "And wheresoever he," that would be the demon, "taketh him." This speaks of the fact that this son was in bondage to this demon. He was under the control and sway of this demon. This demon could take him wherever he pleased. So he is under the domain of a demon. He is under the domain of the forces of hell. And again, this is not just confined to Bible times. It's very prevalent in our day. There are those who are under the domain of the forces of hell. Notice also Mark 9, verse 18, what this demon does. He teareth him. This demon, who is the power and influence of Satan, would rip into him, seeking to tear him to pieces, seeking to shred him. This is all around us today. There are demons that are ripping into people, desiring to tear them to shreds. Notice also, "and he foameth." That is this, what this son does as a result of this demon. He's like a mad animal, and he gnasheth with his teeth. That speaks of rage and vexation. We live in a world where people are filled with rage. And I believe it's demonic. Notice also, "and pineth away." As he looks at his son is wasting away before his eyes. His son is deteriorating rapidly. We read in Luke's account, Luke 9, verse 39, that this demon, bruising him, that is, this demon, the power and influence of Satan, would wound this man, would injure this man. Here is an individual who has the marks of demonic activity upon him. He has the very marks of hell upon him. Matthew records in Matthew 17 and verse 15, the Father saying of his son, for he's a lunatic. That is, he's insane. He's absolutely crazy. He's out of his mind. He's a maniac. And he goes on to say, "and sore," that means painfully vexed. He is painfully tormented. He is in anguish and misery. And I believe that was true physically, and I believe it was true mentally as well. And then he goes on there in Matthew 17 and he says, "for oftentimes," that means frequently, "he falls into the fire and often into the water." It doesn't mean he's just walking along in this inadvertently slips. He casts, he's thrown into the fire and into the water. That is, this man is self-destructive. He is suicidal. So concerning everything recorded in Mark 9, 18 and 25, Luke 9, 39, Matthew 17, 15, Concerning all of that, Luke records in Luke 9:39 that this demon hardly departeth from him. What that means is everything that's been described, these things were more often than not. That is, this man had very little rest from all of these things that have been described. They describe his life. In our text, in verse 21, Jesus asked the Father, "How long is it ago since this came unto him?" And the Father said, "Of a child." You'll notice that everything the Father said of this of his son was in the present tense. These are not sporadic things. Everything he's saying is ongoing and continuous. It is an ongoing and continuous situation of demonic torment. And it's been going on for some time since he was a child. Without a doubt, this demoniac has both physical and emotional scars from the injuries inflicted upon him over the years. Here is a man who is in bondage. Here is a man who is under the control and sway of satanic influence. Here is a man who is being pulled to pieces by the forces of hell. He is broken. He is shattered. He lives like a mad animal. He is full of fury. He lives a life of debauchery. He's living a life of torment and anguish and misery. And he's wasting away. He's self-destructive. He's suicidal. Here is a hopeless and impossible situation. Here is a man who is in desperate need of a miracle. And now we want to shift our attention to the father of this one who was demon-possessed. I'm sure that this father had many restless nights. Can you imagine having a child in this condition? I'm sure there were many restless nights wondering, what can I do? What can I do for my son? He no doubt had probably sought the help of many. When he came upon the apostles that day, I'm sure that's not the first time he sought the help of man. I'm sure there were many occasions. He might just be walking down the street and stop somebody and say, "Could you please help us? Could you help me?" Perhaps he took his son to doctors. But I'm sure he tried many different things to help his son. That's what a parent would do. One day, he hears that Jesus and the apostles are coming to town. So he, so very distressed and so desperate, goes to town in hope of a miracle for his son. When he gets there, Peter, James, and John, and Christ, they're up in the mountaintop. So this father approaches the other nine apostles on behalf of his son. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record this fact concerning the apostles. And they could not. And they could not. Here's his father. He's heard how the apostles and how Christ has cast out demons. "Can you please help my son?" And they could not. Doesn't say they would not. It says they could not. I picture them, these nine, earnestly trying to cast the demon out. I picture them each laying hands upon him, praying for him. You know, perhaps Thomas would lay his hands on him and pray. Nothing happened. So then one of the other apostles said, well, let me try it. It's just like if you lock yourself out of a door, your key doesn't fit the lock. And there might be 18 people around you, and someone will say, well, let me try it. And then someone will say, well, let me try it. The key don't fit. It doesn't matter who tries, but everybody thinks, oh, I can get it. And I'm sure that was what was going on with these apostles. Perhaps Thomas has prayed, and Andrew says, oh, I can pray better than that, and he tries. Perhaps they all laid their hands on him and they prayed. Doesn't really matter. The end result is, and they could not. So the scribes, they begin to mock the apostles. And I'm sure they also began to mock the entire ministry of Jesus Christ. The multitude, they're standing around discussing the events and wondering what is going to happen next. The demon-possessed man, he's still in his dreadful condition. And there's the father. Another effort to rid his son of the demon has failed. And we can only imagine that the father's anxiety at this point has only increased. Jesus comes down from the mountain. And in our text, we see this father, according to Matthew, kneeling before him. And as you read the accounts, and you picture this father kneeling before Christ, you cannot help but see and hear the disturbance and trouble of mind and heart that this father was experiencing. Again, picture him kneeling before Christ and hear him there in Matthew 17 and 15. He said, Lord, have mercy on my son. In Luke 9 verse 38, he says, Master, I beseech thee, I plead with thee, look upon my son, for he is my only child. You can't help but hear the emotion in those words. My son, my only child. Here is a father who is greatly distressed. He goes on and he describes the horrific condition of his son and his only child. You listen to him as he describes his son's demon possession. And how he describes that his son was being grievously tormented. And he was being literally torn to pieces. As he describes his son's behavior. He's casting himself in the fire. As he describes the self-destructive and suicidal behavior of his son. Here is a man, the father. He's in great anguish. He's in great distress. He's kneeling before Christ. And as we listen to him, you see a man in great turmoil. You see a man greatly pained. You see a man that is absolutely grief-stricken. And he's at the point of absolute despair. We see a man who is weighted down. He is literally being crushed with the weight of this burden that he has for his son. Picturing this man kneeling before Christ and pleading with him, we see a man who's greatly troubled. Here is a man who is very unsettled. He is very restless. He's very fearful of what might happen next to his son. Here is one who is very concerned. And here is one, no doubt, who is greatly saddened by the condition of his son. And hear him as he says, "I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not." You hear the disappointment in those words. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record that fact, and they could not. There's a sense of despondency in those words, and they could not. Here is a man who is cast down. Here is a man who is disheartened. Here is a man who is discouraged. Listen to him. In Mark 9 and verse 22, he says, "If thou canst do anything." He said to the disciples, "Would you cast the demon out?" But now he's come to the point, "If you can do anything, have compassion on us." Here is a man who is so desperate, so overwhelmed, so exhausted, that at this point he'll take any kind of relief that he can have. If you can do anything, have compassion and help us. Here is a man. He so desperately wants his son's life put back together. Remember when Jesus said, "How long's it been?" He said, "Of a child." So it wasn't from birth. There was a time he was normal. And the father just longs that his son's life would be put back together. And the fact that he's kneeling and pleading before Christ, he feels an urgency. Oh, that God's people would feel an urgency today. I mean, it's a sad day when God's people don't even feel an urgency about their own flesh and blood. But that's the day in which we live. Oh, they're urgent for a day or two, but then it wears off. That's sad. That's another message. As you look at this father, as you look at this son, there is a picture of all of us to some degree. You say, "Oh, no one's here demon-possessed." I imagine that's true. But there is a picture of all of us to some degree. We see in this father and son a picture of desperation and distress. We've all been there. Some may be there now, but we've all been there. And as you look at them both, they're suffering terribly. They're afflicted. They're hurting. We've all been there. Some may be there now. Satan has impacted their lives. We're all there to some degree right now. Satan has impacted the lives of every single one of us to some degree. They are both in desperate need. That's true of all of us here today. We are in desperate need. Here were two individuals. They needed release. That's also true of us. Every single one of us here today needs release of some kind. They are in need of having their lives put back together. They are in need of renewal. They are in need of restoration. And as you look at these two individuals, they have in their lives more than they can bear. We've all been there. We just feel it's more than I can bear. It isn't, because God says it isn't, but it feels that way. It's more than I can bear. They have in their lives what is beyond the power of man. They have in their lives what is beyond the power of those who were the closest to the Lord. That's true of all of us as well. They need help. Who is there here today that does not need help? The truth is, they need help that only God can provide. The sooner we realize that truth, the better off we'll be. They are in desperate need of a miracle. And there is not a one of us here today that is not in need in some area of our life of a miracle. Of a miracle from God. Every single one of us stand in need of some kind of miracle in our lives. So we've seen the Father, we've seen the Son. Now we want to shift our attention to the most important one of all, Christ, the Deliverer. Again, in this scene, we have the scribes. They're mocking, ridiculing. You have the multitude, no doubt they're very curious. You have the apostles. They feel like failures. They're wavering. There is satanic influence. There is a son. His condition is so dreadful. And there is his father. He's so distressed and so desperate. This is a dire scene. But there's hope. And there always is. There always is. For in the midst of this scene, there is Jesus. You see, he's the answer to everything that was going on. He's the remedy to everything that was going on. There he stands. The Father is kneeling before him. But there stands Jesus. Greater than the forces of hell that had taken over this man's life. Greater than the inability of the apostles. There he stands. Greater than all the problems that were going on. Greater than all the trials. Greater than all the sufferings of the Father and Son. Greater than all the anguish and torment that this Father and Son were experiencing. Greater than the distress and greater than the need that these were experiencing. There he stands. The one who can turn all this gloom into gladness. There he stands. And he says something. We need to hear what he says. Because Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record it. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all record different details. But they all record two of the same things. They could not. And they also, every single one of them, records what Jesus said, bring him unto me. Bring him unto me. Just as he is. Bring him unto me. He is absolutely insane. He is out of his mind. He is a maniac. And Jesus says, bring him unto me. He is living a life of torment, anguish, and misery. And Jesus says, bring him unto me. He is suicidal. He is self-destructive. Take him down to the nearest shrink you can find. That's not what he says. Bring him unto me. He's on a path of ruin. There are many on a path of ruin. We all know there's some sitting here that's on a path of ruin. We all know people that's on a path of ruin. Jesus says, bring it unto me. He's in the bondage of this demon. He's under the control of this demon. Listen, as Jesus says, bring him unto me. This is an absolutely hopeless and impossible situation. And Jesus says, bring him unto me. I believe that that is still the Lord's instruction today concerning everything. Concerning every way we feel, concerning all our emotions, concerning all of our anxieties. Listen as Jesus says, bring it unto me. Here was a father who was at his wit's end. Have you ever been there? At your wit's end. And Jesus said, bring it unto me. You know, when you get to your wit's end, there'll be plenty of people to tell you what you ought to do and what they would do if they were you. Well, never mind. But Jesus says, bring it unto me. That's the answer. That's the answer. You say, well, Brother Dan, that's easier said than done. I'm quite aware of that. But that's the answer. People get to the end of their rope, and then they proceed to hang themselves, not physically, because of the next decision they make. Where if they would just listen, I believe they could hear Jesus saying, bring it unto me. Bring it unto me. Oh, how we need to hear that today. Remember the apostles. They could not. We read in our text in verse 25 that Jesus charged the demon to come out of him and enter no more into him. Matthew records in Matthew 17 and verse 18, and Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. The apostles could not, but now he's cured. Luke in 9:42, and Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again unto his father. That is, the son was brought to Jesus and Jesus righted what was wrong. And no one can do that like the Lord. And he can still set right what is wrong. He can set what is right. He can set what is wrong in my life. He can set it right. That's true of every one of us. It's true of our families as well. Again, Luke records that he healed the child and delivered him again unto his father. Imagine the joy of this father, his son, his only child, is brought to him, and he's in his right mind. He's no longer suicidal. He's no longer mute. He's no longer deaf. It's no longer under the bondage and control of this demon. He's no longer falling to the ground. He's no longer, the rage is gone. The wounds and the injuries, they've been healed. And as the father looked at his son, his only child, he saw a completely different person. Remember, the apostles could not. Don't lose hope when you seek the help of man and they cannot. That's not where your hope should be anyway. Jesus could fix it. Looking at the son, looking at his child, he saw the result of the miraculous power of Christ. And I believe every day after that, he looked upon his son and he saw the miraculous power of Christ. Because did not Christ say, and enter no more into him? This man never had this problem again. Again, we've said a few weeks ago, our problem is we leave the devil the house key. But the Lord, he fixes it. He fixes it. So this son was set free, and the father had the weight of the world lifted off from him. I can only imagine their trip home. Oh, what a joy. What a time they had. What a time they had when they returned home. Different. You know, that ought to happen every Sunday. We ought to return home different. It ought to happen every day. We ought to have a meeting with the Lord. And it ought to make us different. Because Jesus can do what no one else can do. It's another message, but you remember, Jesus said, if thou canst believe. And the father said, Lord, I believe. I believe that you can heal my son. But Lord, help my unbelief. You know, that's true of every one of us. Lord, I believe. But I also doubt. Help me. Help me. We're all there. There isn't a single one of us that can say, I believe it all. I believe. I don't have any doubts in my mind. I'm sorry, I don't believe a word of it. I don't believe it if I say it. There's always some doubt. But the wise individual will say, Lord, I believe. But I do have some doubts. You know, I've heard people say all the time, I've heard people all the time say, Brother Dan, I believe the Lord can do it, I just don't believe He'll do it for me. Well, that's doubt, my friend. And you need to pray, Lord, I doubt. Help me. Help me. So everyone here today, whatever your spiritual condition, somewhere in this picture you can see yourself in Jesus Christ. He's the answer. He's the remedy. Make no apologies for presenting Jesus Christ as the answer. He is. He is the answer. And He is the remedy. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in a verse.